I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Was I the only one that heard crickets right there? was that your phone or was that...
I don't have anything like that
on the recording here. I don't
that
know.
Crickets.
I heard crickets. Anyway, we're off and rolling with another week of KSL Outdoors Radio, and thank you for listening wherever you may be this morning. It's nice to have you riding along. Welcome to a brand new day. Tim Hughes at the home studio this morning in West Jordan. Yes, working from my basement again today, and joined by Russ Smith from Sky Call, who missed us last week. We missed you.
Yeah, I apologize.
Sorry.
Can't remember now what it was, but good morning.
You were feeling a little under the weather, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Has the satellite phone business sort of settled in for the winter now?
A little bit, but it's just staying busy.
Good.
Yeah, no complaints here.
That's good. And you came prepared with a camp spot of the week,
yeah.
I hope in a warm spot somewhere
in
the state.
Most of the time it is Lone Rock down at Lake Powell.
Ah, that's perfect.
I've been looking at a lot of people's videos that have spent the night there. They have good things to say and a few minor bad things, but mostly good. And I think about, they've got, the sand is hard right down to the water right now. They put something in it to harden it up so you don't get stuck. And I looked at the line of RVs right on the water, you know, about 10 feet off the water.
What a great idea.
You know, I'd go spend a week down there.
Yeah. And temperatures, I mean, if we're in the 60s here, which it looks like next week is going to be, you'll probably still find 70s down there.
I think so. And the weather in Page, it's really a great climate. It does freeze, but only for like a month. You know,
yeah.
And the rest of the time is pretty nice.
All right. Navadonskas is also with us today on spring break. Let's not do that. It's fall break. So you're sleeping in, eating bad food, and going to bed really late, as I understand it.
Yep. And there's some leaf peeping and some golf and some fishing mixed in there, too. But, yeah. Hey, Tim, I'm glad that you're in your basement. It's a good thing. It's better than being in your mom's basement.
Yeah.
Well, there is that. I did go back to my mom's basement a couple of times as an adult, but, you know, not willingly. I went kicking and screaming, and life had thrown me that direction. Yeah. We do seem to have a lot of that going on these days in our world. How's your week been? I know you say you gave quite a lecture. You're your biggest fan, which I always love about you.
That's a good line. I like that. Yeah, somebody's got to be, right?
Yeah.
It was my last fall. Well, I don't know the future, but right now on paper, it's my last fall lecture, night number 4, which is the biggest lecture. And it's a rough lecture, and I was fatigued from teaching. And I just started the lecture, and I realized this is my last lecture. So I left everything on the field. And it felt really good, but it's also kind of really sad that this fly fishing is coming to an end.
Yeah. Well, we still have bets on the fact that you'll be back someday to do it, but you've got a lot of things on the bucket list you need to get done in the meantime, and I'm in total support of all of that. So,
yeah, my wife says, you know, we're thinking, well, if you work this much longer, we could pay off the RV before we retire. There's always going to be that, you know, and like I'm really kind of confused about it. And then I talked to a colleague who retired last year, And she was on the golf course, and I ran into her, and it was great to see her. And I asked her, tell me. She goes, oh, Mike, don't ever think twice. She goes, the only regret I have is not doing it earlier. Mm. It's everything I wanted it to be and more. I just should have done it earlier. It's awesome. So we'll see.
I agree 1,000%. This has been by far the most difficult period of life.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it all out. You know, I should already had it figured out. But you're right, Mike. There's a lot of challenges.
And too many question marks. That's the thing. On the other side, you know, who knows what health is going to be and what economy is going to be and what job status is going to be. And you, at some point, you just have to take that leap of faith, much like you did when you were younger and jumped in and started a family and bought a home, you know?
Because we're stupid then. That's the problem. People say, hey, Mike, how come you don't ski like you? How come you don't fly off cliffs and stuff like you used to? Because I'm smart enough to know what could happen.
All right. Back on topic here for just a minute. What's coming up on the show today? Mark Waite is going to join us. He sent me a minute ago, and I don't have it here in front of me unless I can get this thing to refresh and send it. There it is. He sent me a minute ago some of the things he wants to talk about on the road again, road tripping with Jess Mark this week. Bob's got his last tour of the season coming up here. But we're going to go to Lowell and Bicknell for some ideas of things to do down there in the fall. It's interesting because we're losing a lot of the color. You mentioned, Mike, that you're in the midst of doing a little leaf peeping. The opportunity to do that's probably on its way out because...
No question, especially with the precip. Hey, Bob, have you seen Bob's pictures on Instagram? Aren't they lovely?
Oh, he's an amazing photographer. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was out to Uinta Basin yesterday, and there is still some just flaming trees.
Yeah.
You know, but down low, everything up above, say, 8,000 feet is long gone.
Yeah, so we'll talk about things like that are still available for you down in central and southern Utah, although snow totals the other day had places like Cedar City getting snowed on pretty good. And Navi, I knew you'd be giddy about the fact that there was almost 2 feet of snow at some of the area ski resorts. They had 11 inches on the ground in Logan.
Yeah, you know, this happens periodically throughout our history, but generally it will melt before the season. But I'm not thinking this is going to melt. I think it could be here, and that's a good sign if this is the way it's going to be. Yeah.
Let me tell you who else doesn't think it's going to melt, and that is the area ski resorts. They've looked at the forecast. They're blowing snow. They're laying the foundation. So with those overnight temperatures, what they are, they're placing their bets on being able to make man-made now and just start building for the season, which is fantastic. You could be skiing by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I know. We used to do that. I remember those days.
Yeah.
It's not a new thing, but it sure hasn't been that way for quite a while.
The beauty in these kind of storms are, even if they do melt, you know, we have other storms backed up, and this puts more moisture into the soil. It'll slow it down later on, and we'll keep that snow up there for a while.
Well, at least for now, we are way ahead in the brand-new water year, so let's hope that that's a good trend going forward. I am thinking, by the way, about hunters who are up there in the midst of deer season and elk and everything else. I guess if you've done this for a while in your life, you're used to this kind of thing coming around.
The animals get pushed to low. That's what my grandpa always said. Let's hope it snows a lot before deer season because it gets the animals out of the high country. And he didn't want to get up in there. He wanted them to shoot them low.
Yeah.
It just seems like this is every 10 years we go through this cycle. And trailers and people's tents and stuff get snowed in and they get out.
Broken down and stuck and all those things.
It's kind of fun.
Hey, in the final couple of minutes of this opening segment, indulge me for a minute. I was going to say, allow me to go off the rails a little bit, which never happens on this program at all. this week there was something that took place, and it's not the first one, but it is the latest one of a flight to space, quote unquote. It was 11 minutes, shot up, take some looks, feel some zero gravity, and come back. This one's getting attention because Captain Kirk was on board.
Shatner interview, the one that he gave this morning?
Well, I didn't hear the one this morning, but I am going to play for you his comments right after he got on the ground, and then we'll talk about it. So hang on here.
I just start. 2, 1.
You're going 2,000 miles an hour, so you're through 50 miles
And suddenly you're through the blue. And you're into black. And you're into, you know, it's mysterious and galaxies and things. But what you see is black. And what you see down there is light.
Welcome to space.
It's so much larger than me and life. And it hasn't got anything to do with the little green planet, the blue orb. And the, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the enormity and the quickness and the suddenness of life and death. The moment you see how the vulnerability of everything, it's so small. This air, which is keeping us alive, is thinner than your skin. It's a sliver. It's immeasurably small when you think in terms of the universe. What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. It's extraordinary.
He's having that emotional conversation there with Jeff Bezos, who was there when he touched back down. And he said something in those comments that really stuck with me. And I've had these feelings before with life experiences. One of them was when we were all in Alaska.
Right.
And you see that plane take off and leave you in the middle of nowhere, you know, for 10 days. And he said, I hope I never get over this. Which I thought was just a fantastic line. How many experiences in your life have you had? And if you can name one, do it for me right now, where you say, I hope I never get over this.
Tim, you're not off the rails. When you said, I didn't know where we were going with this, but you are right in line with our show. This is what we crave. You know, frontier, what we crave with the outdoors, what we want to grasp is perspective. You get perspective, and when you get caught in the rat race and the life and everything's right in front of you, you have no perspective. But, you know, people who die and come back, they have perspective. When he had that perspective from space, when he saw how volatile the Earth is, and it's like the guy who says, I see the gold in those windows, and I went there and I looked back, the gold was in my own window. Yeah. And so people don't realize what you got. And how, like, he craved being home, and he got perspective of how awesome it is to be here. And don't take it for granted.
I do. I love it. I really do. And I think there are some lines of comparison to be had with the experiences that we find ourselves in the outdoors and the feelings we have when we come back. Certainly not looking back at Earth, but still profound. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have some news of the week coming up for you next. So stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors is coming up.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Nice to have you listening for another Saturday. Tim Hughes, Russ Smith from Sky Call. So good to see you.
It's good to be here. Be up and around, yeah.
Also, Navid Domskis is with us up at the Kaysville compound. I forgot to ask you if you had plans since you're off of school for fall break. You got anything going this weekend? Not going to be playing golf, I don't think.
Well, my wife is actually sitting here waiting for me to get off the phone so we could get started. But, yeah, we're going to go, yeah, what do you mean? Of course I'm going to play golf. There's no bad weather, just bad clothing. You ever heard that?
Yeah, I got it.
So we're going to the RV literally in minutes. And we've already got all of our meals, and we got DVDs for the night because it's going to get cold in a blanket. And I'm loving the weather, and people's complaining about it. But no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be cold. Crisp morning golf with a little bit of frost is awesome. And then the fishing is so good right now, and the air is crisp. I can't wait to get up. And I love this weather. Everybody's like, they say good weather, bad weather. I mean, even Russ said it a minute ago with, I wouldn't mind going down there where it only frosts 1 month a year. I'm like, what? That's like only eating peas for dinner.
Well, yeah. I didn't say you had to live there.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of things I wanted to mention in our news of the week here. First of all, the story that we reported on Utah's Morning News from Pine, Colorado, where wildlife officials saw this elk that had been wandering the hills with a car tire around its neck. Yeah. They think it had been there for 2 years and was finally freed of the obstruction. They guessed him to be, estimated him to be 4.5 years old. He's not a little guy.
Hadn't worn them tires out yet.
That's true. It's 2 years, 600-pound warranty.
Get the brand on those tires.
That's funny. He estimated to be 600 pounds, but they had to cut off the elk's five-point antlers to remove the tire, obviously. They couldn't slice through the steel in the band of the tire without worrying really, you know, about hurting
that's
the animal.
That's interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's a metaphor. You know, something happens to you when you're young, and now you carry that tire the rest of your life.
It's true. There was a similar story out of Utah where they believe, if I could find it here in front of me, they believe that this particular deer, I believe, a mule deer, got tangled up in somebody's hammock at a campsite or something. Down around Parowan, they said it was an unidentifiable mass of string caught in its antlers. The buck had been able to see through what they suspect was a tangled hammock, and their biologist had to tranquilize the buck, remove the string, and place a GPS collar on him. And was released, appeared to be doing just fine. But imagine the poor thing going through that much time of their life trying to be able to see things just walking around.
There's a big problem in these agricultural areas, and it's primarily the southern half of the state, is these strings come off of those big bales, and they get thrown in a big pile. And it's a big problem with birds because they think they can nest in that, take pieces of it, and they get tangled up. But big game can get tangled up in that stuff too. So it's kind of like the fish in the fishing line, Mike, that never destroys itself. It's the same idea. And there are companies that will now pick that string up for a small fee.
I think,
to get it out of the way.
And then we'll have Fish Bites coming up later in the hour with Navi, but I do want to share this video with you, and we'll walk you through it as we have done in the past. I just love the video. It comes out of Tampa, which got my attention because that's where my son lives these days.
You got it, buddy.
And there's a 7-year-old Florida boy that managed to reel in a fish all by himself. Dad was not going to help, you know, with the process. But he's struggling and reeling as tough as he can, and every once in a while you get a little hint of you know, what the fish might look like as it surfaces. He's trying to talk it in.
It's all right, buddy, keep going.
He's tired.
You got it.
It's almost to shore.
You got it.
Stand by for this is why it went viral. Kids walking toward the water, and the fish got it up on the shore. A 7-foot alligator.
Oh, man.
My.
Finish that sentence.
Oh, my gosh. So Dad says, oh, my. And the kid finishes the sentence, golly. This alligator comes up and takes the fish right off of the shoreline, which was all grassy, and then slides back into the water. But I can't imagine. Dad didn't seem. I would have been screaming for my child to run, and you didn't get that from him. But at that point, the kid was probably, I'm guessing, 3 to 5 feet away from where this alligator come up out of the water. Anyway, if you want to see the video, it is getting a lot of attention. You can check for it on our Facebook page, which, as always, is just KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll take another break. News coming up on the half hour. Stay with us. We'll talk to Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge, Trax Power Sports, and get a snow report from up there. And Navi's going to have our Fish Bites of the Week coming up before we get to the top of the hour. So stay with us.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.